I began reflecting on what really is important to preach, to tell people. What can make an impact that goes beyond a Sunday morning, that was a good message, Pastor. And as I thought about what has been most important in my life in forming who I am as a child of God, I thought about family devotions. And there was a little popular book at the time that had come out, Everything I Ever Needed to Know, I Learned in Kindergarten. Some popular author had written that. And I'm like, I think I can do better than that. I know I can. I know God has been great to me. And everything I ever needed to know, I learned already before kindergarten. I learned in family devotions at my table at home with mom and dad and my brothers and sisters. And that's sort of the heart of this message. And before we read Deuteronomy, I need to say that the full-blown tree of that seed that was planted so many years ago bloomed in a beautiful way on the first Sunday of July, July 1, when after 6 months of our traveling all over and volunteering around America, I, Becky, and Justin, along with Noel, Nathan, Nicholas, and Noah, our other group of kids, and with all my brothers and sisters, my Vanny brothers and sisters, my six Vanny brothers, my two Vanny sisters, nine of us in our family, gathered for a Vanny family reunion on the family farms back in Pella, Iowa. And that's where we ended up bumping into Jeff afterwards too, which was just another little providential delight. But we had gathered to have a family reunion, which is pretty hard to do with a family that big. And actually my one brother, Brother Bernie, wasn't able to make it from California, but the rest of us were there. And we had 70 of us all together with the kids, grandkids, and great-grandchildren. It's become quite a clan. Actually, we're going to have the 100th Vanny descendant of my mom and dad, Bernie and Richard Vanny, will be born somewhere around Christmas or the New Year, the 100th descendant. So it's quite a large family. But we had at least 70 to 80 of us gathered for a worship there on the farm on Sunday, July 1. And this was the bulletin that Sunday. It's amazing when you have that many people in a family. You can put your own bulletin together. You get your own praise team together. Someone has a sound system you can use. Someone has a tent they can bring. We had brunch afterwards. And it was a dreadfully hot day. 100 degrees, but the farm pond was just down the hill after the service. We could just kind of roll into the farm pond and swim away the rest of the afternoon. It was a great family gathering. But what made it great was this. The title of our Sunday service was Passing Faith, Generation to Generation. And it opened with this call to worship. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord alone is God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then kind of the key text that my brother-in-law, who's also a pastor, started off with was, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois, and now in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. And though we have four preachers in the family, none of us four preachers preached. Willie simply read this text as the oldest in-law and then turned it over to us nine Vanny siblings to share how had Mom and Dad Vanny passed their faith onto each one of us kids. And we had nine testimonies. Well, we had eight, actually. Well, we had nine because Bernie's daughter stood in for him since Bernie himself wasn't able to be there and gave a testimony. And there's nothing like that on all the earth than when you see God's word having come alive and passed from generation to generation to generation to generation. I think we would have had five generations there all together that day as we worshiped on the farm. So that's the vision I put before you, but it's based on these words, Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to read just the first 12 verses. Maybe we'll dive into a little few more later on, but hear this from Deuteronomy chapter 6. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children, that's three generations mentioned right there, you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commandments that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. And here's the heart of the passage. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to give to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you a land with large, flourishing cities that you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then, when you eat and are satisfied, be careful. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I want to end there at this point because I know how easy it is to forget. I know how easy it is to have been given something so precious and then let dust collect on it. When we're on the road for 6 months, you're out of the routine, or as we've come through summer and things are a little different than the school year, the church year, it's easy for good habits to collect dust. And here's a call to dust it off. I noticed that the today arrive today in church because the months of September and October. The family altar, it used to be called, because that gathered us at the table. The family altar was the family meal table in some of our homes. Maybe some of you have never had this tradition, but I want to encourage you to start it some way, somehow. Maybe with little kids it's easier to do that at the bedside. You know, the text is full of ideas here. It says, when you sit down and when you get up, when you're eating or when you're walking along the road, tie them as symbols on your hand, bind them on your foreheads, write it on the door of your houses. Do whatever you need to do to remind yourself not to forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt with a strong arm. Do not forget the gospel. Do not take church for granted. One day a week, 1 hour or 1.5 hours, however long it takes today, is not enough if we don't carry through with daily discipleship. That's what it's about, daily discipleship. And so if you're single, translate this in terms of personal devotions. If you're married with family, think of it that way. You know, think of it both ways. It's good, even as a family, to be encouraging your older kids, especially as they get older, to be having those personal devotions in addition to family devotions. But it's so easy to forget, to let it go, to get out of the routine. And so I kind of timed this message to start with the church year and the school year, but I also timed it because we as a family need a little bit of a reminder. And our Justin, you know, has called us to account a few times on the road and said, we didn't do devotions today. Well, we keep one in the car too, you know, just for those times when you've forgotten. So along the way we do it or we catch up. But it's easy to forget, and God knew that, and Moses knew that. Do you know the very context of Deuteronomy? We had a little Greek today. Let's talk a little Hebrew. Deuteronomy, Hebrew word, Deutos 2, Onomy Law. Deuteronomy is the second law. It's the second giving of the law. Why? Why did the law have to be given a second time? Because the first time in Exodus 20, that generation heard it. They heard it with thunder and lightning from the very mouth of God at Mount Sinai. But they soon forgot it. It fell on hard hearts. And so it's the second generation now, after 40 years of wandering, and that generation that did not trust God enough to take the step across the Jordan and go into the land that God was going to give them, because they didn't trust God, because they didn't really embrace the gospel and the God of love who embraced them when he brought them out of Egypt with a strong arm. It's like the story of the gospel really hadn't taken root in their hearts, and so they just could not trust God to get them over that big Jordan River and face those big giants there. And God said to the second generation when he gave the law again through Moses, do not forget this time. I give my law a second time. I give all that I am. I give my love. God's law is just another expression of his love. It's always, you know, whenever there's a command, there's always the reminder of, and this is why. Because I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt with a mighty hand. That's the gospel. Gospel undergirds everything. Living the gospel, breathing the gospel, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what it's all about. Why? Not just so you can get a long life. Notice the verses back there that you and your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, however long that may be, okay? By keeping all his commands and decrees that I give to you, and so that you may enjoy long life. My mom has been without my dad, her husband, for over 25 years now. And that's always a bit of a hard reality for me to get my head around. Almost single as long as she was married. But she's watched her kids and her grandkids and now her great-grandkids walk with the Lord. John wrote in one of his little letters, there's no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth. So whether you have a shorter life like my dad who died at 63 or my mom who's up to 84 now, the point is to enjoy life while you're living it. And to enjoy long life is to walk with the Lord in a daily basis. Those people who didn't hear the first generation of Israelites lived another 40 years, but they lived 40 years of wandering a while in the wilderness because they had not listened to the loving voice of the Lord their God who said, go now, cross Jordan into this promised land. So listening or not listening, walking daily with the Lord or not walking daily with the Lord will define your life here and now. It certainly makes a difference for your ever after, too. Family devotions are good for saving our souls, but they're also good for living healthy lives and living lives to the full here and now that we may know the Lord's guidance in and out every day. So do not forget. I want to speak about three particular joys. How I learned to enjoy the Lord my God because of family devotions. It was really pretty simple in our home. Anytime we gathered at the table and food was put on the table, first there was a prayer of blessing, and then after the meal, we opened up the Bible, the family altar, a children's Bible storybook, whatever devotion we were using. And it pretty much happened morning, noon, and night, at least during the summer when we weren't in school and we were all on the farm working together. In the summer, we would often end up having family devotions literally three meals a day because we ate three meals a day. And what that taught me was this first joy, the simple joy of knowing that God is as real and as necessary as the food on my table. So there's something to be said about table devotions, family devotions. I mean, it may be more practical sometimes with little kids to do it before they go to bed, or to get away from the table and gather in a special room. I know one family that developed a family prayer carpet and a family devotion carpet, and they'd all go sit in the living room and have their devotions together that way. So there's many different ways, but there certainly is something very good for me that happened in terms of the joy of knowing God is as real as the food on my table. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I certainly learned that at an early age because of family devotions. The second one, the joy, not just of knowing God, all right, but the joy of growing daily in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The joy of growing. You know, as much as we have churches, and some of us send our kids to private Christian schools, others don't, but even on public schools, there's Bible studies, there's all kinds of opportunities out there for ongoing Christian education. But the most important place for Christian education to happen is always in the family, in the home. Home is our first mission field as parents. And there we need to teach our children the joy of growing in their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the most important lesson I ever learned is that I will be learning the rest of my life. That life is about learning. Life is about the humbleness of making mistakes and coming back to our Lord Jesus Christ who forgives and saying, let me hear it again, God. Let me understand one more time. Let me come back and hear it again. Your love for me, your forgiveness, and your way for me. I mean, you can go to church one day a week, 52 days a year. You can be in a Christian school or something and, 5 days a week for 180 days a year. But 7 days a week, all the weeks of the year, all the months of the year, you're part of a family. Or you're in your home. You eat. And you can be in fellowship with God through personal and family devotions. That's where, practically, growing up in a family with that many kids, I learned how to share. I learned what's fair and what's not fair. How to fight or not to fight. How to forgive. All those basic lessons of learning life through experience, the wisdom of being under God's word and growing up in that capsule of a godly family. Life is learning. And then the other side of that, one more joy, the joy of knowing God is real, the joy of growing in Christ my Savior. And finally, the joy of just being. The joy of just being in a safe place. Even now, believe it or not, the pastor's family has fights. Becky and I get at each other's hair once in a while. Justin could tell you some horrific stories. Noah was with us this summer when we had a particularly painful decision to make about the Lord's Ford, our beloved conversion van that finally died, and I just couldn't let it go. I just could not send it off to the rust grinder and sell it for metal. And we were having a difficult decision about what to do with the Lord's Ford. It's been such a blessed vehicle. It's taken so many youth group retreats and family vacations and personal devotional times as we all rode together in the Lord's Ford. And they're having a funeral for it maybe this week. I sent my last will and testament and the title to another pastor in Minnesota in the Twin Cities, and I finally gave it up. But this was a very painful decision, and Becky and I got in a huge fight over it. And Noah, our son, who was with us on that trip, just started bawling because he was so tensed out that we were so stressed out fighting over it. So, things aren't always easy, even in a Christian home. But when you have a place to go at times like that, when you can call each other to account, say, okay, let's just pray about this, or let's go to the Word of God. Come on, we know better than this. It's a beautiful thing to have that foundation when you get in tough times. The joy of being in God's presence and finding peace by bringing it to the Lord. The sweet, sweet Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that dwells in our lives and hearts when we walk with the Lord in a daily pattern of devotion and daily discipleship. You know, I thought of that song this morning. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and we often sing about that, and we think of it in church, but that's what family devotions creates in your home and in your relationships, that sweet presence of the Holy Spirit, that safe place to be, even when things go very bad. And, you know, I want to say the flip side of that bad thing is that I can remember some of the best times in my family happening at the family devotion table. And we actually reflected on this and had a really good scream and laugh about it again at the family reunion just a couple months ago. Because what happened was we were reading the children's Bible story book, and I think it's Marion Schoolin's particular children's Bible story book. And Marion Schoolin passed away a number of years ago. She was kind of like a matriarch in Reformed church backgrounds with children's Bible story that she put together. But she put her children's Bible story together based kind of on the King James. So she reworded the King James, but she still used some of the King James language. So this particular day, we were on the story of Balaam's donkey. And Balaam being asked to come and curse God's people, and God trying to prevent him at every way not to do that. And Balaam wants to do, you know, wants to get this money, and finally God says, well, just go then. So Balaam's riding his donkey to go and do this curse on God's people as he's hired by the Moabites to do it. But as he goes, there's an angel that's ready to strike him down dead in the path. And the donkey sees it, but Balaam, who's blind and not listening to God, not following God at all, doesn't see the angel with a sword ready to strike him down. So the donkey stops at one point and won't go forward. And Balaam gets mad and, you know, says, you stupid donkey, come on, get moving. And, you know, and this happens three times. But the third time, God finally allows the donkey to talk back to Balaam. All right, well, you know, so in our language, in as Marion Schoolin translated this into kids' language, the donkey says, haven't I always been a good donkey? Only Marion Schoolin kept the good old King James word in there. Haven't I always been a good ASS? Well, when my mom read that, my oldest brother just got flushed. And I could see he was just, you know, and I don't know if I wasn't listening real good and I didn't quite catch it, or I was just so used to the King James it didn't strike me as being particularly awkward. Haven't I always been a good ASS, you know? But my brother was just, you know, ready to burst. And when mom was done and she closed the Bible, Gary said, that was such a good line. Haven't I always been such a good? And we just, you know, that was a funny family memory that we still talk about. You know, so it's a sweet, sweet spirit that we can laugh, that we can cry, that we can be real with each other in the presence of God. The first time I ever saw my dad cry was while he was trying to conclude the meal and family devotions, but my grandpa, his father, had just passed away, and it was at Thanksgiving time. And that's the first time I saw my father cry, was at the end of the meal at family devotions when he couldn't get through the prayer. And that's a great memory, to have seen my dad cry, to know that it happened as he was speaking with God in family devotion time. I've asked my son, I said, Justin, what have you learned from family devotions? Would you have something you would like to share about that? And he even wrote it up, and he's going to share it with us now. I think she'll get it turned on there.
There we go. So when we were coming back from prayer meeting, we were reflecting about the last time my dad did the sermon at Living Hope Church. And we actually did like a skit of our usual family devotions, and it was really fun. And we're like, we should do something like that again. And obviously we don't have all seven of us here anymore. Thank goodness. But we decided that we still want to do something, so I wrote this up. They asked me, and God led me to write this. My family has done devotions for as long as I can remember. A usual day in the Vanney house consists of a family devotion time in the morning and a devotion time after summer. Over the course of 15 years, my family has gone through many different devotional books, all of which I have thoroughly enjoyed, but one stood out to me from the others. The name of the series of devotions is Hero Tales. Hero Tales are collections of stories about people that were great ambassadors of our Lord. I always loved Hero Tales as a kid. The books were full, The books were full of great Christian morals. I think the biggest thing I learned from Hero Tales was to never stop trusting in God. If it wasn't for the insight, I might not be a Christian today. Around 6 years ago, back when I lived in Wisconsin, I started to have satanic dreams every once in a while. Every time I would have one, I would rush across the hallway to my parents' room and sleep on the floor next to their bed for the rest of the night. After one especially bad dream, I just started to sleeping in my parents' room permanently. After 2 years of doing this, I was sure that I was through with these satanic dreams until one night I had the worst one of all. In this dream, I met Satan himself, and in the dream, he asked me to give up being a Christian and follow him. I woke up saying to myself, "It's just a dream. It's just a dream." But I knew it was more than that. Looking back at that night, I realized how close I was to letting Satan scare me out of being a Christian. Thankfully, I didn't, because on that day, God helped me to remember Hero Tales, and I remembered all the miracles God had done and how powerful he was. I also realized that the reason Satan attacked me was because he knew that one day I would just be like the people in Hero Tales, and that I would be a great ambassador for our God. After coming to that realization, I never had another satanic dream, and I'm proud to say I sleep in my own room today. And then it's done. The other day, through my personal devotions, I was reading the parable of the sower. Families of Faith Church. The reason family devotions are so important is because they plant roots in our Christian faith. Then we are not like the seeds that fall on rocky soil, that grow up fast but die when hardships come. But rather, we are like the seeds that fall on good soil and produce a crop 30, 60, and 100 times what the sower originally planted. Families of Faith Church. I want to encourage you to start doing family devotions with your kids, because it has the power to save their souls. It saved mine.
That's the great privilege of passing on the faith generation to generation. So indeed, all I ever needed to know, I learned in family devotions. Truly, the greatest philosophical truth anyone could ever know, I learned in family devotions. God is real and wants to be involved in your life. Second, the dearest, most comforting thought, the greatest theological truth. Well, Karl Barth once asked, what do you think is the greatest theological truth? And he shot right back and said, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." And that's what I learned too in family devotions. And third, I learned about my ultimate purpose in life as being led by the Holy Spirit. That if I trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding, that he would direct my paths, that God would guide me to what he wanted to do in my life. And I learned those basic morals, right and wrong, right in there with my brothers and sisters, once in a while with a bloody nose or two. And I learned what to do when you don't know what to do. Pray, pray, pray. Bring it to the Lord in prayer. And I learned this, and this is the invitation that I want to extend, just like Justin extended. I learned in my family, at the family table, no matter the fact that there was already sometimes 11 of us, 9 siblings and mom and dad, gathered around that table, that there would be one more leaf to put in the table and one more chair that we could add. And that the greatest gift in life is to give what you've already been given and experienced, and to invite someone to the table. and to let them share not just in your food, but in your family devotions and in your sharing and in your life as you lived it daily with God. Actually, when we did that family skit at our former church in Wisconsin, we had taken in a little girl who lived with us for 30, 40, I don't know, 50, 60 days, and we didn't really count. And as long as God wanted her there. And so she was part of our family devotion skit on stage that day in front of church. And I learned that from my parents. And I want to pass it on to you, for you to pass on to others. And this is a message that I hopefully will keep going. And we can, you know, this is the family devotional book we use right now. It's Letting God Create Your Day. It's kind of the Wonders of Creation series. You can get those online as well. When we had to kind of jumpstart here a few weeks ago again, I went through your library. I found this classic one, Intermission by James Scott, which we used often when we had teenagers at the table. But there's more than 1,001 different tools. It's just a matter of making the commitment, dusting them off, and using them. Adding to the table others who need to be invited, so that someday maybe you'll get a note like this. And this is from a teenager when I first preached this message back in 2001 on Mother's Day. And this is something, you know, I preached this message the very first time on Mother's Day, and every Mother's Day since, I call my mom and I say, Mom, I want to thank you again for what you and Dad passed down to me in terms of family devotions. I don't ever want to forget the gift that I'm given, and I want to give it on. This is written by a teenager back in Webster, New York. I wanted to thank you, Pastor, and let you know that the sermon that you gave today was so necessary and so beautiful. I am so glad that you are my pastor. I would love to talk with you one-on-one sometime soon. I love you, Nicole France. You are a gift from God. I got the privilege to mentor Nicole in the Facing Your Future program, which invites high school juniors and seniors to think about a career in ministry and to go to Kelvin Seminary and to go on a mission trip. It takes about 3 weeks to go through this program, but it's a kind of a five-year cycle of them being mentored. Nicole is a pastor's wife today, but she's a pastor in her own right too. And it's a beautiful thing how God can take the good seed of the gospel and plant it in others and pass it on. Would you pray with me a moment? Heavenly Father, may your seed, your word that has gone forth, not come back void, as we know you promised it won't. But may the water of your spirit cause the conviction and sprouting that needs to happen this day, so that more family trees can grow and bloom and spread the seed into their neighborhoods, into their communities. That we can change the whole world because of your powerful love and your living word among us. Thank you for this privilege again today to share the gift that keeps on giving. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.